Welcome to the Airport Gardens Baptist Church Sunday morning services. This is Sunday, July the 28th, 1985. The Lord bless as we worship together around the precious Word of God on this beautiful Lord's Day. The song the choir is going to sing at this time comes from the third chapter of John, where Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And we're going to preach a simple down-to-earth message today on what must I do to be saved. I think that's the greatest question that anyone could ever ask. What must I do to be saved? Pray for the choir as they come to sing at this time. Wonderful song. Brother Kermit's going to come to read our scripture and lead us in prayer. While he's coming, we'd like to mention a few prayer requests. Many of you here probably know Norma Combs. Her husband went into eternity Friday night. Charlie Combs, I believe his name was. I've seen him many times. He is gone today. Of course, we'll be praying for Norma and all of her family this week. Also, continue to lift up in prayer our nation, President Reagan, and all those in authority at this time, as we're told in God's Word to remember in prayer those that have authority over us. Let's be praying also for Ms. Barker and also Ms. Maud Barker, who is over in the nursing home. Carolyn's brother in California. Is he improving some?
Yes, I talked to him.
He had brain surgery, right? Let's be praying for J.M. Ellington. Also, glad to have Vassie with us again this morning. The Lord's continuing to do a work in her life, and I know all of you appreciated her testimony last Sunday at the end of the service. Let's continue to pray for Fred's brother, Harvey Skaggs, Brother Combs' wife over in the nursing home, Anna Campbell down in North Carolina. We still send a tape to her each week and be praying for her. Layuna Sutton, Sam Fugit, who is back home. I talked to him, I guess it was last Wednesday, and certainly he is ready to go to be with the Lord if the Lord sees fit to call him home. Let's be praying for Jonathan Honchel, a little fellow we've been praying for a long time. Also Edna McCauzy, Ms. White's mom and dad. Brother John Talby, as far as I know, he is up in Louisville. Dixie Morris, who has surgery, I believe it's this week or sometime soon. L. Hannon Morris's daughter. I talked to Lucas's dad on the phone this morning. Let's be praying for Lucas Robinson. Farmer Miller, Leo Feltner, Murdy Caldwell, who is back in the hospital. Ms. Abrams, Brother Flinch and his mom. Brother Lafer Giles, a member at Big Creek. I'm sure you have unspoken requests, some of you. I know God's able to bless as we try to cast all of our cares upon the Lord today. You lead us in prayer and read our scripture for us, Brother Flinch.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and we'll begin reading with the 25th, and we'll go through the 31st verse. Acts chapter 16, 25 through 31. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's hands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been freed. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, again, Father, we come to thee in prayer, asking, Father, that you forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, and asking, Father, that you look upon these prayer requests we gave this morning, both the spoken and unspoken, and be with, Father, those of our number that are traveling, and be with, Father, those in our community that don't yet know thee as thy personal Savior. And we pause now, Father, to pray for each home represented here this morning, that you will bless and direct and keep them throughout this day and throughout the week. And, Father, that in all that we do, that we give thee the praise and the glory, and that, Father, we do the things that would be pleasing to thee. And we ask, Father, that you continue to give us the ability to be in service for thee, that we can do things, Father, to further thy kingdom and to glorify thy name. And we ask now, Father, that you be with the one that will bring the message this morning, that it stir our hearts, and Father, should there be someone here today that don't yet know thee as thy personal Savior, give him the word, Father, that can be said that will cause him to come to this realization, and that here, now, today, Father, they will come forth and accept thee as thy personal Savior. This we pray and ask for in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
For our last hymn, let's turn to page 199. Let's stand and sing the first and last verses. I am resolved.
We'd like to ask our junior ushers to come forward for our morning tithes and offerings. Lead us in prayer, Brother Landon.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day, and we thank you for each one here this morning, Lord. We thank you for the service already, for the singing. We just look forward to your messenger this morning, Lord, as he gives forth thy message. We just pray, Lord, that we could be attentive and that we might be blessed from being in thy house, Lord. We just pray for this offering. We pray for each giver, Lord, that they would give freely and that these gifts would go to further thy kingdom, Lord. We just pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Tom and Fred and Francis are going to come at this time to sing for us a song just before the message. Thank you. believe we're living today in the quietest world we'll ever live in. In heaven, there's going to be praising God throughout eternity, I believe. It's going to be the opposite in hell. There's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I trust you're on your way to heaven this morning. I know this, every one of us here on our way somewhere. I trust us to be with the Lord. Today we're going to be speaking on what must I do to be saved. The simple plan of salvation. On the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul the Apostle, who is in prison here in the verses Brother Kermit read for us in Acts 16. A shining light from heaven shone in Saul's pathway, and a question was asked of the Lord, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Saul of Tarsus asked that of the Lord. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" In the last part of this verse, Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Today our key verse this morning is going to be found in the 16th chapter of Acts in verse 30. The jailer, it says, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I believe this is the greatest question in the English language. What must I do to be saved? People are looking today for something to do. If we had to walk 100 miles, some religions, you have to walk through fire. But Christianity is a gift. And if we add anything to Christianity besides simple belief on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have added something, I believe, that is not in God's Word. Paul and Silas, in verse 31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." The jailer brought them out and said, "What must I do to be saved?" If someone asked us this question, and they had 5 minutes to live, I wonder what we would tell them. Probably if we ask 10 people in Perry County how to be saved, we may get 10 different answers. I don't know. But today we want to, with God's help, look into God's Word as we go through this message. Let's have another word of prayer together, please. Our Father, we call up on your help today. As we give forth your word, your precious word, your inspired word, your infallible word, your inerrant word, your word that doesn't have any errors at all in it. Father, we thank thee that your word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall not pass away. Father, may we give this message today as if it would be the last one we give. And help this wonderful audience, Lord, today to listen as if it would be the last message they would ever hear. We thank thee already, Father, for what you're going to do. And help us, Lord, to lean upon thee. Because we certainly know today that you have everlasting arms for us to lean upon. Father, we bring to thee the needs of this dear people this morning. You know what they are? The unspoken request as well as the spoken request. Father, we know that you are a great God, and you understand all about us. And so thank thee for hearing our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe there comes a time in every one of our lives when we come face to face with eternity. And what are we going to do with Jesus? A pilot said when Jesus was being tried, he said to the crowd, "What then must I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And the crowd said, "Crucify him, crucify him." We have to do like Moses. We have to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time, for a season. What must I do to be saved? First of all, being saved is not doing the best you can. Isaiah 64:6 says it like this, "And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." The best I could do was not good enough. Romans 3:19, Paul said, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." I'm not depending today upon my good works to take me to heaven. But I believe this, a Christian will have good works. We're not saved by being good. All our goodness is nothing. It's not doing the best we can. It is not even church membership. Even though I believe every Christian should belong to a local church, a local Bible-believing church. A saved person will want to be baptized into a local church where he lives. We have a tract either back there, or I have some back here in the pastor's study, entitled "Belong Where You Live." You can have a better testimony, belonging where you live. That's why over here on air, Church Covenant, it says, the last paragraph, I believe, it says, when we go from one place to another, we will, as soon as possible, move our church ladder and be a witness where we live. I believe in belonging to a local church. But church membership does not save. We have to be saved first before we go in that water. Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Salvation today is in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to love him. We need to serve him because we are saved. And if we're not saved, the first step on the road to heaven is come to the point where you know that you're lost. Lost. It's not in being a good neighbor. Even though I believe every Christian makes a better neighbor. It's not being a good neighbor. Someone told me, even right here in Airport Gardens, when I get off work, I come home, I don't bother anybody. My friend, there are a lot of people already in hell who were good, but they did not trust Jesus as their own personal Savior. I believe today in knowing the Lord personally. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. Salvation this morning is in a person. It's in Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 8, "God condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The Daily Bread said it like this, "Grace is everything for nothing, for those who don't deserve anything. Grace is everything for nothing for those who don't deserve anything. I appreciate salvation this morning. I appreciate what He's done in my life. I know you appreciate what God has done in your life. And God is still not through with us yet. He's still working on us. He's still knocking off some rough edges every day. And we need to be a witness for the Lord. I just got through reading the book that Miss Dorothy Hoskins checked out of the library about a Russian soldier who suffered for his Lord. We're having a film October the 13th on Sunday night on this same fellow. This film is put out by Underground Evangelism. We need to be a Christian. If you're here and lost today, let's look here in Acts 16 at the verses Brother Kermit read and other verses in God's Word. Paul and Silas were in Philippi, and they were in prison. And they were praying and singing praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundation of the prison were shaken. All the doors opened. Everyone's bands were loose. The keeper of the prison. Right here is the first thing. Look what the jailer did. It says he awoke out of sleep. My prayer for you this morning is that you will wake up and see that you need the Lord. You need Him worse than you need anything else or anyone else. You need the Lord. Life is so uncertain. Kermit and I were up at the Cars Fork late this morning talking a fellow from Indiana. And he talked there about how he came narrowly being in a bad accident just a few days ago. My friend, life is so uncertain. And I'd like for you today to wake out of sleep. The keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. You need to wake up, friend, and make things right with the Lord. Paul said in Ephesians 5, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He'll give thee light. Call upon the only one today who can save you. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He had already said, we deserve to be up here on these crosses. But this man has done nothing amiss. He recognized in Jesus the sinless Son of God whose blood was oozing out many wounds in his body. Jesus took time out from dying to say, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The jailer woke up. And my prayer for you is that you'll wake up. And realize that we as a church love you. We care about you. We're praying for you today. Jesus loves us more than we'll ever know on this side of eternity. We think we love our children, and we do. But I tell you, the love that the Lord has for us, it's immeasurable. What did the jailer do? He called for a light. In the 29th verse, he called for a light. He first woke up, and then he called for a light at midnight. You know what the Bible says? Ye are the light of the world. As I said a while ago, if someone was in a bad accident, and they were 5 minutes from being in eternity, and they were lost. How would you tell them how to be saved? I believe John 3:16 would be a good verse to start with. It says, "For God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This fellow called for elect. 1 Peter 2:9 says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The world today is calling for a light. They want us to be a light. The two missionaries gave this lost sinner the only answer worth anything. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Hebrews 11:6 says it like this: "And without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." He is. Present tense. The Lord is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There was a fellow in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. He was being talked to by one of the preaching deacons in the book of Acts by the name of Philip. And as Philip preached to this man about Jesus from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, the fellow said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You know what Philip said? "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized." You know what this Ethiopian eunuch said? He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they stopped that old chariot and went down. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him and came up out of the water. And he went on his way rejoicing. That fellow was saved. And then followed his Lord in water baptism. We're baptized because we already know the Lord. What doth hinder me to be baptized? There may be some of you who have put your faith and trust in the Lord. And you know deep in your heart that you're saved. But you have never gone that next step. I said one time here in a message, a person who does not belong to a local church where their witness can be felt is like a person, a football player, not having a team to play on. God needs you. And we need you. God loves us. The devil today is offering wages. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The devil offers wages, but the Lord offers a gift. And you know, a gift today is to be received. Verse 32, it says, "They spake unto him the word of the Lord unto all that were in his house." This is Acts 16:32. "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house." be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I believe our house is going to be saved. If we're the witness we should be, our homes, our families will be intact in heaven, I believe. It'd be something if the Lord came back and we'd miss some of our family and we'd hunt high and low for them and they wouldn't be found because Jesus had come back. What I'm saying is this morning, I want you to be ready. I love you. Jesus loves you. 1 John 5 says it like this. 1 John 5, verses 12 and 13. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I tell you, that verse is doesn't have to be explained to us. If we have the Son, we have life. John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. My friends, today all of my way, all of my spiritual way today is on the Lord. And I know this, He is not going to fail me. And He'll not fail you. We may fail Him, but He's going to be faithful. What are you going to do with Jesus? Well, you say, I didn't come to church today to be saved. What are you going to do with Jesus? You can't be neutral. You have to be either or. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Every one of us are going to meet the Lord someday. I'd rather meet Him as my Savior and Lord than to meet Him as my judge at the great white throne judgment. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's the second death. But I'm also glad that the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Is your name in the Lamb's book of life? Do you know for certain that you know the Lord? We need to let our witness be felt. The last invitation in the Bible is found in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, 17. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's a free gift. I like the verse in Isaiah 55:1. It says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You can't do anything with a gift except receive it. And salvation is a gift. Jesus has paid the ransom for it. He's paid the ransom for your soul. Grace is everything for nothing for those who don't deserve anything. Are you saved? you had to die today, if you had to meet the Lord today through the through death, would you go to be with Him? You know your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life? You can know. You can know the Lord and free pardon of your sin. Your sins will be blotted out. We're redeemed today with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood needs to be applied to your life. You need to know Him. And Father, we're thankful today for Your precious Word. Help men and women, boys and girls today to come to know Thee. May they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We know they, many of them, Lord, believe about Jesus Christ. They believe He existed here on this earth. But Father, may they today believe on, place their faith and trust in Him. In His name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing an invitation hymn that says, "Whosoever will may come." Page 210 as we stand to sing. 210. Whosoever will. You may be here as a Christian and need to make some type of decision. Follow the Lord today. As we stand to sing.